not live and coming to you from the fabulous Sunset Strip in Hollywood, California. It's the Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
Whoop de fucking do.
Whoop de fucking do, precisely. Woo-hoo. This is episode 77. Wow. Yay! Episode 76 will be up in some time. We had some technical difficulties, and that will be up in time. But until then, until then, just, you know, hold your horses. As I say every week, speaking only for myself, the Bob Dean Show and Bob Dean does not endorse Wells Fargo Home Mortgage because they are crooks, nor do I encourage Tower Urology Billing Department because they are crooks as well. That being said, happy belated 4th of July to all. I hope everybody had a really good time. We're going to discuss what we all did in a little bit. Mm. We'll discuss where we were when the earthquakes hit because they sucked. Along with Sammy Junio. Hi, Sammy.
Hello.
Hi, Sammy.
Hi, Sammy.
And the lovely Kathy St. George will not be with us today. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Dennis Olsen is chillaxing in the green room today. He didn't want to be out here, which is fine. He's got other things to do on the computer, whatever. He's piecing it out.
Yeah.
And hi to Zach Herndon in Bloomington, Indiana. Hey, Zach.
Hi,
Zach.
One of our original
crew. You remember Zach from, you know, with the big hair from... Sylvia, this is your fourth time on the show.
Yeah.
Okay, want to welcome back for the fourth time the lovely Sylvia Sage,
star of
Stage Street, Sandy Beaches. The lovely Mia Mars is here for the first time.
Yes,
hi, Mia.
I am. I'm
and Jody Carlson Anstrom.
Yeah.
Got
I
it
love
right.
This man.
Well, the first time I introduced you on stage, I got your name wrong. And I was
it was awesome. It was perfect, though, because I was so nervous. And then I was like, okay, I don't know who that is. And someone in the back room was like, I am. I was like, great. It totally broke the
But these
ice.
Three lovely ladies have all different kinds of things going on, but they are also three fabulous Los Angeles comedianettes.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad y'all could make it today.
I like comedianettes. That's cute. I've never
heard
that.
Like majorettes.
I'm very tiny. I like comedianettes.
You are teeny tiny. You're like a little... Like
you could be controlled by a string.
You're like little Peter Panorama.
Comedianettes.
Okay, so what... Now, did everybody have a decent 4th of July?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
Now, you were out of town, right?
I was here chilling. I did go out of town like a week ago for a Swedish midsummer. Woohoo!
Wow.
Shakespeare.
Wow, yep. That sounds amazing and very sexual for some reason.
Well,
is that just me?
Well, Swedes are definitely very, like, open.
Yeah.
And it, you know, they were, like, Viking pagans, right? And so, you know, did you ever do the maypole when you were young?
No.
You have to put the flowers in your hair and dance around.
No. Oh, I've seen those in pictures.
Okay.
What?
Well, it all comes from them. They, like, dance around the maypole.
Oh, I know. Okay, now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
they
like
all
fall
down? No. Oh. It's this weird pole where they attach ribbons.
Yes.
And then, like, these Christian kids, like, go weave in and out of each other. And by the time they're done, like, it's a big giant braid.
Oh, no, I do not. I have not seen this.
Except that back in the day, they weren't Christians. Actually, there are not that many Christians left in Sweden, I have to tell you.
Oh.
They're all like everybody else.
Muslim.
I don't believe. Yeah, I mean, whatever.
But
goes.
Now, so you were talking about them. Did you all do your maypole on 4th of July?
No. We drank micheladas and went hiking. And
that sounds great.
You know,
yeah, that sounds like
Have you seen that commercial? Well. I mean, not commercial, but the trailer for that new movie that's coming out.
Which one?
That's in Sweden, and it's a festival that only happens like every 92 years. And it looks like that, and it's going to be like one of those thriller.
Yeah. Wait, there's a film festival that only happens every 92 years?
No. When we went to the movies the other day, there's a movie coming out. And I shouldn't have brought this up, but it's a trailer for a new movie that looks really, really scary.
Okay.
Oh. And it's about these kids that go, you know, it only comes every 92 years.
Oh,
and
like
they,
it.
Sort of. Oh, and they go to some way far back festival in Sweden, and it's all beautiful and everything, but everybody, it's sort of like the Stepford Wives versus Children of the Corn kind of thing, you know.
Okay.
And just Google it, but anyway, it looked really good.
It looks scary.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love
it. Everybody's wearing
movies.
the wreaths and this and that, you know, and then but the next thing you know, they're all screaming and everybody's running. So.
Right. As a scary movie should.
Yeah.
And pretty much midsummer, what everybody does is they just get really drunk all day long.
Got it.
And then they go naked together, like group men and women, into the Swedish sauna. And then they jump when it gets really hot. Then they go and jump in the cold water.
Oh, that's how you get a heart attack.
There's definitely, you know, some
that's how
sexual
old people
elements.
Get.
Okay.
And you did that? You didn't?
I've done it. I've done it with a bunch of strangers. The first time I was there, I was like, okay, you want me to do it? All right, fine.
Whatever. And I was thinking that story that you, that in your act, you tell that story about that when you and your husband went to that other couple's house for dinner and they tried to get you into the swingers.
And you didn't know? You had no idea?
No clue. Mm. Neither of us. We were like little flies in their web.
So scary. What were their first words that you knew that was for sure, because like, we're in a trap?
It was like they locked the door. And then
they locked the doors here, by the way, just so you know.
Okay, well, we're all locked in together. Lucky
we got nothing
you.
To worry about.
Lucky you.
We're here with Sammy.
He doesn't want us.
We're here with Bob. We're,
we need to watch out for Sammy, if anything.
I was going to say, Bob doesn't want us.
Yeah, you know, I'll admire you from afar, but.
Yeah. Okay, so they locked the doors and then what?
They locked the doors. They took us upstairs, and the first thing they did was give us a drink that was maybe supposed to be a cosmopolitan, except it had like a little splash of cranberry.
Yeah.
And it didn't have a base. It was like a martini glass, like a point without a base on it.
Okay.
And so you couldn't put it down.
So you had to drink it.
You couldn't put it down.
Oh my God. Like, these people are clever as fuck.
Mm-hmm. I know. And then they're like giving us a tour of the house. We get up to like the top floor, and they're like, and this will be your bedroom tonight. We're like, what, huh?
We just came over some friggin' stroganoff.
Yeah.
Something
like, wrong. We live like 5 minutes over the hill. They kept selling like fondue, which apparently is code for swingers in the 70s.
Oh,
so look out, girls.
Really?
Interesting.
Yes.
But y'all
look
escaped though, right?
We did. My husband is like, he was like, Jody is sick. We go now. And he just grabbed me. We like ran out the door.
Well, now, you know, Sylvia is a very successful adult film actress.
I know. So beautiful.
So she's been through, I'm sure, the many a setting like this before.
I mean, I've actually never gone to a swingers party. So believe it or not, I was never into like group things. I'm still not into group things.
Yeah,
like,
it's too many people.
Bothers me.
That's
yeah.
too many fucking people.
It looks great sometimes in the movies, but I've attempted it twice in real life, and it's like, oh my God.
Right. You know? I tried.
Men have always done it, and women haven't.
It's just like the game Twister, which sucked. You know, it looks like so much fun in the commercial, but it was like, this doesn't fit. And it's like, it hurts. And how long am I supposed to lean like this?
Are you looking at me? And what?
It was awkward. I did one orgy in porn once, and it was five girls and four guys. And it was very awkward. And it was far too much fluid exchange for my own personal liking.
Sounds like a lot going on.
So there's five women, four guys. That's nine people. That's not an even number. Someone's getting left out.
Always.
What do they do?
Always. So they're just, they have to pretend
spin
to
the
masturbate
dial.
In the corner. Like, like masturbate, or you can go get a drink.
That must be the ugly one.
Or like touching
someone's
back.
No, you have to rotate. You have to rotate. Yeah, or trying to like eat ass from behind. You know, like one of those moves. So you're always trying to be involved, but it's a lot, and it was too much for me, and I was like, one and done, I can't
Thank
do
you anyway.
Big groups.
I'm sick the next time that they call me in for that.
Yeah.
So Mia, what's been going on with you? I haven't seen you in a long, the last time I saw you, I was scrolling Facebook, Dennis was driving.
Last time I saw you, my family came to the Palms. Or wherever
you
were.
No. The last time I saw you, you didn't see me. You were walking your little chihuahua on Sunset Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was scrolling on Facebook and I was reading a post from you, and I looked up and there you were. But that's been a while.
Wow. That chihuahua's dead.
That's like the whole manifestation.
Sorry to hear that. Aww. So anyway, what's been going on with you besides that? I'm sorry.
Still mourning the chihuahua. Kind of got murdered.
What?
Like, Jesus.
Like coyote style?
No, I was on an open mic and another comic's dog. Like bit him, and then he died 3 days later.
Oh,
that's terrible.
Lord.
Wow.
But I got a new dog. I didn't have a name for him for like a month, so I just kept calling him Not Courage. Courage was the one-eyed chihuahua.
So now his name is Not Courage?
No, now his name is Doodle the Poodle.
Oh my God.
Is he a poodle?
He's like a Maltipoo or something. I never thought I was just scrolling for dogs, and there's a picture of a dog that made me laugh because he was covered in different hair dye.
Huh.
And then I realized, wait, that's a really chill dog.
To let you do that.
Yeah. So I had to meet him, and he liked me, and he was a very chill dog.
Nice.
And, you know, when I left, apparently he sat at the gate for 30 minutes. I'm like, God damn it, I guess this is my fucking dog now.
Yeah, of course. Aww. They always find you.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
You and I have lots of rescue animals, and they just keep coming.
Yep.
Everybody every day tries to give me, like, horses, cows, pigs, dogs, cats.
Do you live on a lot of land?
No.
Oh.
I don't.
Oh, and you're an equestrian. Yeah.
Well, I now only have one. I've lost a horse or two, which is very sad. They're very big. So when you lose them, it's like even a bigger piece of your heart.
Yeah, what do you do with a dead horse?
Well,
do you want
me to really tell you?
Fuck yes. Okay. I love death.
There is lots of options. You can just send them to a landfill.
Okay.
Which is, just sounds awful, right? Yeah. And then you can cremate a horse, which the first time I had a horse pass, I was like, of course I got to cremate him. You know, I got to like send off his ashes. I never thought about how big a box would be for a 1,500-pound horse.
Oh, God, so that urn must be like a planter.
It was what do you call it? A chest. It was a chest. Wow. And I went to go pick it up. He goes, ma'am, you're not going to be able to pick that up. I was like, okay. This was maybe not a good idea.
What did you do with those ashes?
Well, we kind of did like this memorial ride because I was very emotional, like the Chihuahua. And this was not good either. I got these like pretty bags that like leaked ashes. So we all went on a horseback ride, and but everybody's ashes were leaking all over them, all over the horse. It was kind of a train wreck, but it was beautiful at the same time. Everybody had ashes everywhere.
It was a thought.
I think when we lose our first animal, it's all like, because seriously, whether it's a human being or an animal, I've talked about this before on the Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
Is once the soul leaves the vessel, who needs all this crap?
Right.
So when I die, I'm telling everybody, just send the body to science. What they don't want, just throw the rest in a blender or burn it.
Have you heard of the body farm?
What? No, tell us, Mia Mars.
All right. The first one was in Tennessee. The biggest one is in Texas. What you do is you donate your body to the body farm, and they will just study how you decompose.
Ew.
Like, what happens if you're...
I have heard of this.
What happens if you're in, like, a trunk? Well, let's see. What happens if you're
different places and how long. And, right.
And do studies. I have seen that.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I'd give my body to science, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't need it. My parents don't need it.
That's pretty neat. I think I'll have to look into that because everybody always wants me to come back to Tennessee. Wow.
Yeah. Is that, like, the...
The
it's at one
farm.
Of the universities. It's only like an acre, but yeah.
Well, it's sort of like that guy with that the McDonald's museum. The guy that has it in his basement.
What?
Now Google it, y'all, because I read it somewhere a couple of years ago, and I believe it to be fact. To where the guy bought two cheeseburgers, and he stuck one in the jacket of his leather coat, and he hung up his leather coat, and he took it out a year later, and the cheeseburger had not decomposed at all.
Wow. Yeah. I believe
so.
That.
So he started buying McDonald's burgers and putting them in his basement on different things.
Why?
And just see what would happen. And like, they didn't decompose.
No rats or cockroaches. There's
because
no
infestations. Because of all the crap, I guess, that's in the meat.
Well, you saw the movie with the guy that ate only McDonald's.
Oh, yeah. Super Size Me.
Super Size Me.
Couldn't process it or something, yeah.
Well, no. His liver started to fail. After a month? Yeah. What was it? And he was married to, like, a vegan chef or something. And she's just, like, watching him. And he would go to the doctor for check-ins. And he had to eat 3 meals a day from there. And it could be, anything different. Yeah. And that's when they supersized. And after that, they stopped the supersize.
Mm-hmm.
His liver was dying.
Well, so we talked about this before on the show. The chef from England... who came, and this is probably 8 or 10 years ago, he had a reality show on American television, and he was real excited about it. He thought he was going to be able to change the way children in schools ate here.
Yeah.
And I could remember the guy's damn name, but it
Gordon was... Gordon Ramsay?
No. This was this young British chef, and remember we talked about him, Sammy? And he came into schools, one was in Alabama or whatever, and where all the kids were eating all this garbage.
Yeah. Right.
And they were getting sodas from the machine, and then they're getting things like processed. The first thing he did, the first episode he did, was showed how McDonald's made McNuggets. That's what made me think.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I remember this because all the kids were like, who would still eat McNuggets? And they all raised their hand because McNuggets are fucking good.
Yeah. And then he showed what we were talking about, all the crap that I ate yesterday.
Yeah. I ate crap yesterday.
My stomach is so overwhelming. You know, like right now, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, and but I had to do anal.
It's like the bone and the fat, the bone.
Yeah. I did not. I did have to take my clothes off, but I did. You just got Dean.
Anyway, y'all don't want to eat McNuggets.
Mia, what did you do before you came?
I took a shower.
Okay, good. So you took your clothes off too.
I did take
my clothes off. We all took our clothes off before we came, except for Bob.
That I put my clothes on before I
know, but
you
I
sleep
like,
naked?
I miss you taking your shirt off on stage.
Right?
Yes. He'll, I love when he does that.
Oh, Brett Kreischer has completely taken over it. Now, if even if you do it, it's considered like derivative of, you know, Brett Kreischer. And so, or
of
what's
who?
His name? Brett, the comedian that takes
Kreischer,
off his shirt.
Yeah,
it is Kreischer. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, unfortunately, even if you come up with it first, we live in such a.
Well, I know. It's crazy. It's
like, does he have as much
stealing.
Hair on his back as I do?
No.
You mean like soccer players have been doing
he more it does it for his belly. He more does it because he has like an overlying belly.
Yeah.
And that's what he
does. I don't do mine for my belly. I do mine for my hairy back, maybe.
Yeah, you go more for the back, which is a different, yeah.
And since I came in first place on the Carnival Cruise, hairiest body contest, you know.
Wow. Yay!
Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah, I'll have to bring in my
did they give you a trophy?
A trophy and a what do you call it? What the thing?
A sash.
A sash.
Pageant.
When I took off my shirt, the three other guys that were in the contest was like, "Oh, screw it!" And everybody was like, "What the beep?" I was
That's
like,
great.
"Told y'all."
Well, hey, you're gonna be the best.
You're a bear, and you make no bones about that, and you have your own thing going. So he can just screw himself because you have your own crop circle whole thing happening over there.
I would go on a gay cruise. If I were you, I'd go on a gay cruise, bring my sash, and just parade around the boat.
Well, I'm sorry. I stand corrected. It's not a sash, but it's when they put it over like an Olympic
medal.
A ribbon.
It's a ribbon with a medal.
A medal.
And then a little Carnival Cruise trophy.
Nice.
Yeah.
So funny.
Even better.
Yeah. But my favorite time doing that was when were you in the show when that kid had a meltdown? This kid that was so good looking.
What show?
It was one of the oh, by the way, we all want to say hello to Sunda
Kroonquist.
And if anybody wants to at the Ha.
Oh, Ha. Okay.
At the Ha Ha
awesome.
Club.
Okay,
and at the LA School of Comedy, 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard in beautiful Persian Westwood. We should try to go to the Ha Ha tonight if I didn't feel so sick. And what else? There was this kid who he was like 22, 23, and his whole shtick was about how millennials rule the world and anybody over 30 is an idiot and blah, blah, blah. He was a nice kid, but he was just, but he's super friggin' good looking, blonde hair and all that. Well, he's up there on the stage doing his bit, and he starts losing it. And, you know, if you've seen, we've all seen a comic that loses it.
Oh, yeah.
And you just oh, my God. And you just want to get the big hook and bring him in, but they keep going and going and going.
I just saw that last night.
I see it all the time.
The kid goes, he starts talking about how he goes, "Let me show you what a millennial looks like." And he starts takes off all of his clothes and he's wearing these little teeny tiny black underpants. And everybody's like, nobody's laughing because we're all like, what are we supposed to laugh or cry?
It's like a big fail. It's a fail.
And he's going,
it's so uncomfortable.
This is what
it's because he's good looking, so we're all going to shut up.
Well, that's what I was going, oh my God, I can't wait for my turn. Because he's going, you know, people over 40 are stupid and I'm a millennial and this is what millennials look like. And we should, you know, blah, blah, listen. And I got up there and that's when I dropped my pants as well and took my shirt off. And I'm like, you know, whatever his name was, like Carrie. I'm like, Carrie, this is your future.
Yay!
You got the laugh.
You know, I'll take my shirt off anytime, anywhere.
We have been together, though. Same. As you said, you've been to all the shows when somebody's had a fail, which, thank God, I know it wasn't any of us. Mm-hmm. And the kid just stopped talking. And it was like 20 minutes had passed. I swear to God. No, I mean, you know, a stage time. But I mean, it was a long time. He just didn't say anything. It was so uncomfortable.
Maybe he was just trying to get comfortable on stage.
Yeah.
I've heard that some people do that. They'll just wait a whole minute just to get comfy on stage, realize what a minute is.
Right.
And
it's brutal.
And, like, be comfortable with the silence. Mm-hmm. Like, don't do it in front of a real audience.
No.
Go to Burt's. Go to Burt's back room or one of those pay-to-play paces. Mm-hmm. Like,
your 2 minutes, sit for 1 minute and be quiet and see how that goes.
I've seen people do that at the Comedy Store, the comics that are at the store all the time. That are always,
why would you do that at
ever
on the stage at the
Your time is so valuable. Yeah.
Especially
stage.
There.
Why
but
would
not
you do
for
that?
Those people, not the people that are booked every night.
I know.
That's not valuable to them.
Mm-mm. Yeah, they can just take, they feel like
they have
take
but five
time.
Nights a week and they're bored. And so they're doing, they're
well,
waiting.
Well, where are you guys going
stage?
Out? And are you doing open mics? Where are you going out and doing, are you getting any stage time? What's happening?
I am a slave to the Comedy Bureau.
The Comedy Bureau. I've been wanting to go down there and do an open mic down there.
No, thecomedybureau.com, just the website.
Oh, the Comedy Bureau. I'm thinking of that place in the alley in Santa Monica.
Oh, the West, place. The
West Side Comedy Theater.
Yeah, I was just there for a mic, a woman's mic.
Nice.
Is that a nice
I like
place?
That place. Yeah, it's really cute.
It kind of freaks me out because it's rectangular.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah?
I think it's really cool, yeah.
I kind of like it, but it's so
But what are you, okay, so what are you doing with the Comedy Bureau?
I just look up all the mics, and I try to go as many different ones as possible, but I can't stand the pay-to-play ones, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And fuck Silver Lake. Fuck everything about Silver Lake. Fuck their stupid streets.
What I don't like is
what, fuck
yeah,
their open mics. Uh-huh. Fuck their shows. It's just a bunch of hipsters talking about their therapists, and I can't fucking stand it.
Well, you know, because Sammy like did, because the LA School of Comedy does one on Thursday nights, and Sammy hosted it for a while, and I hosted it for a while a couple years ago. And what used to piss me off is that these, and there was always young, no offense to young comics, you know, I'm talking like teenagers, but they would come in and get there and then they'd do their, you know, time and then they'd bolt.
They
wouldn't
stay and support
they'd
the
bolt.
Comics.
They wouldn't stay and support
you
the comics.
You gotta sit around for at least one or two comics
exactly.
after.
Exactly. Yeah. And then
that's just common courtesy. Yeah. I get it. You gotta leave sometimes.
Right. Yeah,
I get
leave.
It. You feel like shit.
Uh-huh. Right. And but that's just part of it is when you get up and bolt, that's just in bad forum, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
I've only left one show that I was actually part of. I've ever stayed to watch every single one.
Oh, wow. You're better
than
I am.
Every
time
me
I
too.
Have.
Every
I
single
wanna
one.
I want to support my comics because I love them. And it's a show together. And you add like energy, like one person.
I'll say I stay at shows when it's like five comics. When it's like 14 to 20 comics, I'm not staying for everybody.
Yeah.
I just...
They do.
Well, that's just it though. When you realize you're in a show and it's 14 to 20, then you're like, holy
isn't
shit!
Isn't that
right?
You know, that's too.
That.
That's too many.
It's
damn
too
comics.
Too many.
I noticed that if there's too many comics outside, I'm like, I should go inside and not be a dick.
I mean, I definitely still go in and watch the shows, but it's like I can't sit there for 3 hours of.
Don't you think that's too much for the audience?
I am an audience member
seeing that many, and it's too much. Mm-hmm. And but I feel badly for the comics that are coming on at the end because
they're all tired.
I'm tired. My last,
the only
I'm
time,
like,
the one time that I really fucking bombed is when I was one of the last ones to go up, and there was like 14 comics.
Yeah,
because I was exhausted, and I made the stupid mistake of having a damn martini. I was like, you know what? I was and I drank. I had a martini because I never drank before a show.
Yeah,
never.
Yeah,
and I had a martini. Well, I mean, I had a martini, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I got up there, and I was just like, I just fucked up.
Yeah.
And, like, I was 5 minutes into my routine. Well, I had seven, but 5 minutes into it, I go, you know what, y'all? I'm done.
Right.
And I made a jackass out of myself.
Oh, no.
And it was so unprofessional, but really, because there was, like, these four black women in the front row that started to heckle, and as soon as they started to heckle, I just looked at them. I said, you know what? I don't have the energy for y'all.
You didn't even give him the reptile? Like,
I said, I don't even have the energy for y'all, just like that. And I said, I'm going home. But the guys that ran the show had me back. They've had me back twice. I'm not going to get
I soldiered through my set.
Shows. Yeah.
I soldiered through my set. Although, like, recently, there are times where I'm just sick of doing a joke I've done over and over again that takes too long and the audience is tired. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm done. I don't want to tell this joke.
That's good. That's honest.
I don't want to tell this joke anymore. I'm going to do a new one. And honestly, it kind of gets the audience to perk up a little.
Yeah,
sure.
It does.
Yeah, but you know, what blows me away too is when I've seen it a couple of times at different clubs, to where guys get up there, and they're regulars according to the. Whoever got them. I don't mention any clubs or any names because it's happened at various ones. Mm-hmm. But whoever, because I've had great times with the guys and gals who have invited me to be up on the nights that they're having their show.
Right, that's great.
But those people that'll get up and they'll have their phone with them. Like the first thing that Suna taught us is you don't, you know,
no
you
notes.
Be prepared. Mm-hmm. They get up there with their notes and they're like, oh, I think I'm going to try this new thing here. And I'm like, crazy. What? Yeah.
It's okay if it's at an open mic.
Open mic, I don't really give a
exactly.
damn.
Exactly. That's what open mics, in my opinion, are for. But these are, I'm saying, don't this has happened several times on booked shows.
We have a big audience.
Where, you've invited your friends to come and that sort of thing.
Because, unless it's like a new material night where it's like, you know.
Of course,
even
that's
if
a whole different story.
Like, they're... Oh, it's the big ones that drive me crazy. It's the ones that bring the big notebooks and lick their fingers and all that shit. All right, the secret is you get a white napkin, you put your bullet points on the white napkin, because there's always a fucking stool. You get a drink, you put your drink on the napkin, and when you need to remember your shit, you take a drink, you look down at your bullet points, and you put it back down.
That's great. That's a great one, because I do my bullet points, which I... Not good. I don't use it anymore, but it's superstition now. Is I put them on my wrist.
My God, I still do that.
You know,
I do little hieroglyphs to remember what I want to talk about.
I'll look down like this and shake my head. You know,
that's smart. I normally just kind of put them on my wrist.
But
the
napkin on the stools, that's a great one too.
Oh yeah, that's what all.
But
the
none of us ever
use.
Do that, ladies and gentlemen. We're all professionals.
I just forget shit. I just go up there and I do it, and then I'll forget. I forgot a whole section.
Yeah, I hate that when you're done, you're like, God damn it, that's a good one too.
Yeah, but the audience never knows.
They don't know.
Yeah,
they don't know.
Yeah, but you know, and you're like, it would have been so much funnier if I would have just said that. Damn it, you know.
Well, I need to. You know, I've had some time off because I'm on temporary disability, and deservingly so. I've got really, really bad sciatica in my leg, the pinched nerves.
Yeah,
and I'm doing, and then I fell behind the bar at Wolfgang's right before we close, and I'm getting physical therapy on my shoulder and my leg. Shit.
Are you out of work now?
I've been out of work for 4 months. It started off because now it's strange how it worked out, because the sciatica crap started at Wolfgang's over a year ago. And I miss Wolfgang's. I'm sorry, we all do that work there. It was a great spot.
Is it gone?
Well, it's closed. They're looking for a new location. They told us it was coming. It's not like they just locked the doors.
Right.
But it was a great bar gig. And I think we all needed a little vacation. But, you know, now it's because it was a great bar gig with great regular customers. Mm-hmm. And we really, really miss it. But the pain was so intense. Because of the way that it worked there, I knew my hours. I knew my food runners. I knew the guys that I worked with. So I got through the pain. Okay, and a shot or two, which nobody drinks behind the bar when they're working, helped to get through it. But it was when I got home,
I couldn't sleep and that sort of thing,
you know. So then, when the restaurant closed while they look for another location, and I was relaxing all the time, that's when it really started to fucking hurt.
Yeah.
Couldn't sleep, couldn't walk. Huh. So I started doing the physical therapy, and then at unemployment, they recommended that I go on to temporary disability. Wow, because I was paying for my own
bullshit
physical therapy. And I'm going to this great guy at the Strong Gym, which is over by Dodger Stadium. Willard Ford and his partners own it. Yeah, it's worth it though.
Do it all. Chiropractor, massage, yoga.
I don't believe in chiropractors. Well, they exist, but
This guy's working the hell out of my leg, and there's light at the end of the tunnel, but I can't start another job while I'm still limping and in pain and still can't raise my arm up, you know, to do this.
Give you some healing vibes. I understand.
You're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You are doing the right thing.
It sucks to have this time off and not be able to do anything, though.
Well, you're doing this.
Well, I'm doing this, but I mean, like, to be able to, like, at least get in the car and do some road trips to, you know, Northern California or something.
Have you done the CBD?
You know what? That was the first thing I tried, and I put it, because I didn't realize I didn't know what sciatica really was. Mm-hmm. And the first time that I put, because it's weird, because sometimes if you've had it, sometimes it hurts like hell, like right where your torso meets your legs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times it's in the small of your back, and then it goes down your leg and blah, blah, blah. And I rubbed it on, and for the first 3 days, it worked like, I was like, hallelujah. And then after the fourth day, it just stopped working.
Wow.
And I got one of those teeter inversion chairs that you hang upside down, and they help a hell
That's
of a lot.
What the chair was
they
for.
Really
That's
work.
Funny.
They really work. Yeah, with my head and my big tomato head. Did you see that one?
Yeah, that was funny.
They help a lot, but it still doesn't 100% correct the problem.
That is rough. I'm sorry.
It feels like when you're like, as a kid, when you were sitting in a desk chair, really uncomfortable desk for hours in school and your ass just started to hurt. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like
You can't, you got to move away from it. You can't get comfortable.
It sucks.
I've kicked the dogs off their own dog beds, just lay on the floor just to be like, oh, now my back hurts.
And it's like when you're sleeping and you roll over and just, and you just move in one little direction, and it's seriously, it's like, it feels like a rubber band is snapping in your leg, like breaking. Anyway, enough about that pain.
So to get old.
That's exactly what it is. So what were y'all doing during the second earthquake? I slept through the first one. Dennis was the one that woke me up, and he goes, he said, I'm putting on shoes and this and that, because the first one was what, 4th of July morning.
Yeah.
And then the second one was 4th of July night. And that was a, that one.
No, it was 5th of July.
5th of July night. And that one was scared the holy crap out of me. And I know, I guess for a lot of native Californians, it was, you know, in at least in Los Angeles, it wasn't a big deal. But for a lot of us, it was. Yeah, for me, it was.
I am native. And you always say, thank you for letting me live in your city. That's cute. I woke up at, like, when was the earthquake? 7 a.m.? I'm like, oh, it's an earthquake. I lived a good life, and I went back to bed.
I didn't even feel them. People are texting me.
Yeah, I sleep through them
cool.
all the time.
It's a beautiful day here.
Didn't notice.
I'm going to go to the pool.
I sleep through them all the time.
Yeah.
Ooh, the second one, that one on the 5th in the evening, I was on the floor.
Yeah?
You could feel it?
And I was like, ah! You know, because when it first starts, you expect, because it seemed like it went on, it was probably five or six.
It lasted a minute. It felt like a while.
Yeah, it lasted a long time, and that's when I got scared, because it didn't stop. Yeah.
I was in the car, and it felt like another just big truck passed me by for a second, and then I'm like, oh, no, just ride the roll.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ride the roll. Pray that's not too big.
What are you supposed to really do?
Yeah.
All
right.
You are getting through the middle of a door jam. That's bullshit. Yeah. Get under a table.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Get under a table.
A sturdy table, right?
Some idiots. Yeah. I was reading on Facebook. One of my idiots friends who's used to like tornadoes got in the bathtub. I'm like that.
Yeah.
Well, the reason for that is because I was in an F4 tornado.
Ooh.
And those things. Ugh, God, you can't take your eyes off them. But in if you don't have a basement to get into, there's the plumbing that is in the walls is supposed to help sturdy something. And it was the same thing like with the Hurricane Andrew. Is that you know, when the houses started exploding, people got into their bathrooms covered in a mattress. I had a really good friend of mine, Kirsten. Her family, they were in the bathroom for 8 hours.
Wow.
They were in the house, and I'm not getting into the whole thing, but it'll make it. But when they came out and opened the door, everything was gone but the bathroom.
Wow.
So that's what it is. Is they're thinking that there's at least plumbing and that sort of thing that can give it a little bit of a solid.
Maybe the bathtub isn't such a bad idea.
Well, but because I was watching when I first moved here, they would rerun this thing on public TV, and I just happened to be channel surfing and watched it several times. And they were saying is that the door jam is a myth. You know, and basically what they didn't come out and say it, but basically they were saying, you know, hold on, you know, to your ankles and pray. But getting under the table inside is the best thing you can do, but definitely do not run outside.
Yeah, don't want something to fall on you.
Exactly. If you run outside, you know, breaking glass, you know, you want to get away from glass as much as you can. But if you run outside, there's every...
buildings fall, yo.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
As an Angeleno, it wasn't a myth. That's what they actually taught us. That is what they taught us. But because, like, it only happened in certain buildings and everything, and, you know, some buildings are rich. I still, like, bolt for a door jam whenever I feel a really big earthquake.
Right.
Like, it's second nature to me, even though it's fucking wrong.
Right. Well, see, that's what I think I would do, too. I think I'd bolt for the door.
That's what they taught us. Mm. Like, you know, earthquake drill. Get under your desk.
My apartment is like, I love my apartment as far as living goes, because it's in one of those old 50s buildings that's 9 units, and it's side, that sideways, and then there's two that are out over the like open air garage. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, when it comes to the, you know, living, I only share one common wall. So there's nobody underneath. I can make all the noise I
That's
want.
Nice.
There's no problem with insects or anything.
Yeah.
You know. And but
That's
if there's
a plus.
But if a real big jolt comes, it's going to be the first one that goes. You know.
Wait,
right off
you
the
have
edge.
Enough cats that they should eat any insect or yeah, rodent true. Matter that would
I've got
come
seven
near.
Seven right now, but don't seven. Tell the landlord. Oh well, two God. Of them are two of them are on loan from the shelter. They're two kittens.
It's so sweet that you do that.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. It I is, have two it, kittens right now, and it's. Exhausting.
Are you fostering like, them, but you're keeping them?
No, I'm keeping them. Yay. I've got them. They're now mine. Nice. But they are Aww. Not... I was not expecting all the things that have already happened in just a few weeks of
mm-hmm.
pet
How
ownership.
Did you get them together? Mm-hmm. Are they
I got them together.
Brother,
brother
and sister.
And sister.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because that's the whole deal is I'm trying yeah. to keep these two brothers together.
Yeah, I wanted to say.
But they chase each other.
Oh, they are well, monsters to each other.
But they're playing
100%.
Monsters.
100%.
Well, I wish you had told me that because you could have taken these two brothers.
No, gosh, no! They've been exhausting. One
Maybe
of them,
Mia wants some cats.
One of them was playing and like smashed himself
She's
underneath
a
mirror and broke a rib, and we had to go get X-rays.
Oh, no.
And it's
what?
Like it's been a nightmare. They're little crazy monsters.
Oh,
running
they're
around my
they're
house.
They're crazy, and because these are kept, we keep them in a giant cage that the shelter gave us, but we let them out.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not in there all the time because I had mm-hmm. with they came as us.
Yeah,
as
they're
feral.
Not Mexican children,
right?
Oh, don't get me started on that.
Dude, what do I do?
Let me tell you something.
What can you do?
I'm going through this. I go through this with some Facebook people that I'm friended with on there, and one just pissed me off was that these people, that, and they all come from people that I know that live in gated communities, okay? And they're just like, enjoy your fucking hot dog while people, like children, are separated from their families. It's horrible that people are separated from their families. It's horrible, mm-hmm. and that should not be in place, but at the same time, it's horrible that the people that already live here are living in tents everywhere around the city, and it's gotten 1,000 times worse. Mm. So what are we supposed to do? Help the people that are already here, or let more people in, which, God bless them, let them in, but what are we supposed to do once they're here? What? Somebody tell me. That was my political rant.
Yeah,
so before
okay.
y'all
There's
think,
too many no. fucking people on the planet.
Thank you.
There are.
Because I am 58 years old, and when I was growing up, and this is not a joke, what we learned about in my suburban, person of privilege suburb in Levittown, Pennsylvania, was, and I'm sure that everybody else did too, was in when I was in elementary school, I started in 1968 and finished in 1972. And what we learned about, what stuck in my head was, overpopulation and pollution. That's mm-hmm. what they drilled into our heads, was overpopulation and pollution. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is.
Well, they go hand in hand.
They go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the earth is overpopulated and it's polluted. And you know, genetically modified food is going to feed us and you know.
That's cool. At least we're getting fed.
That's why I'm doing my part with not having kids.
Oh,
saving the planet.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of people I'd like to neuter.
Yeah.
My husband and I are going to adopt.
Yeah.
They're perfect. Yeah. So we're going to take some of the, you know, two of the 200,000.
Yes. Perfect.
Thank you.
People.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's how it should be.
No
more babies until everyone's out of the adoption process, you know? Then you can make new ones.
You know what?
Same for animals.
You know what I think I'd like to do? I'd like to have one natural child and one adopted child. Never tell which one's which, but make it really obvious, like it's obviously the Asian one.
I know, but that's what everyone's asking. They're like, what? And my husband and I are both open. They're like, do you want a boy or a girl? You want this, this, this? And we're like, too many questions.
Yeah.
Like, you don't ever think about that, right? Because you're trying to have a kid, and you're like, well, it's going to look like one of us, hopefully.
Right.
Just say, I want it to look like us. Who? Yeah. Nothing with too many special needs.
But you know, it is such a crisis,
though.
There are people
that take special needs kids.
There are
amazing, like
I do not have the patience for special needs kids. I know people that are disabled and are special needs, and I'll hang out with them.
Joe Urell, if you know Joe Urell, his parents, they adopt only children from the system who have special needs.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they have like
God
15.
Bless them.
They have like
those,
15 kids.
They're so much better than
those guys
than I am.
Are nicer than Mother Teresa.
Yeah, I know.
Mean,
yeah. I know.
Like,
crazy.
I can barely take care of myself. How am I going to take care of
and the
like,
dogs?
Like I said, I will hang out with you, but.
Yeah. No, it's just being honest, though.
Yeah.
I don't know how to take care of you.
Yeah. I know. It's like you said, I can barely take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have a husband. He's like a rescue, so.
Oh, why am I thinking about adopting children and having children when I, like I said, I can barely take care of myself.
Yeah. That's how I feel about these cats. I'm like, man, was I meant for this? It's
no,
a lot.
No, you did the right thing because no, that's the good. Same thing. Absolutely. It's like with animals. I mean, yeah. they're certainly not human beings. Human beings come first.
Yeah.
But certain cultures that don't believe in birth control and don't believe in spaying or neutering animals because it's a, you know, it's a crime against nature, whatever.
There's so many people I want to spay and neuter.
Yeah.
Hello.
You know who you are.
Yeah.
And there's if you look at like how one cat can reproduce.
Yeah, my cats are getting one, it in 1 month.
Oh yeah, exactly. When they're old enough, and that's mm-hmm. how we got these two kittens. And I'll never do it again, and I'll tell you why. Because you friggin' fall in love with them.
I know, of course.
And it's the same because I've always fostered older cats, and that's how I've ended up. Because the five adult cats are fosters, but I haven't been aggressive about finding homes for them.
Fosters for like 10 years.
Well, yeah. Because here's the deal. Because if the landlord can, you know, I'm grandfathered into my building where nice. I can have cats.
Nice.
And but the new tenants can't.
Oh.
And if all my neighbors are cool because they're indoor outdoor animals.
Oh wow.
And that's the way they came to me. All right, not the kittens. But the other ones are indoor outdoor, and they're very docile, mm-hmm. and they all get along like they came from the same litter.
Do you have a kitten door?
No.
You go in and out.
No.
Or you let them in and out.
The cats. I have the main door stays on the chain, mm-hmm. and then the screen door is on a loop. So when they're outside, they come in and out. They're safe, and you know if somebody like kicks the door, and then I can hear them.
Got it.
All right, it's not like they're locked out.
Mm-hmm.
But at night, when it's time for them to come in, I just close the big metal iron screen door, and within 45 minutes, they're all just sitting there like, oh, it's ready to come in now. it's a great setup, and I don't
That's
live
adorable.
In my apartment's in the back. There's no alley. The neighbors all know the animals, and they're cool with it. You know, if somebody new moves in, I'm like, look, these guys are mine. If somebody gives you a hard time, and everybody's like, no, you know. So that's why it's all worked out, and I haven't been aggressive about finding it.
Oh,
but the point of that is that it's the same thing. And they've smuggled puppies a couple times, not very frequently, but over the last few years.
Smuggled puppies.
Well, yeah, because it's like a Sophie's Choice thing. They've got to figure out what they got to do. You know?
In your building, people have brought
No. From the
shelter.
I can't go into detail, but yeah. They just ended up at my place until they can find a more permanent fostering location.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been thinking about adopting a cat. Or like out of the shelter, but here's the thing. I want it to be an outdoor cat because we already got outdoor cats living in the parking lot of my building. And, you know, I just want to adopt a really ugly cat.
That nobody wants.
That nobody wants. Yeah,
they're out there.
That will just chill out outside.
Well, you've already got them with the ones that are living in your parking lot.
Yeah, but they don't like me. I want one that likes me.
Yeah.
Well, that's a cat for you.
Yeah.
Cats are like... Can you just feed me and leave me alone?
Although these kids,
the one cat I really like.
The reason they don't like you is because they're feral and they're afraid of you.
Yeah.
So if you get a cat that's from and you stick that cat outside with those cats, they're gonna
be feral.
Beat up the other cat.
Yeah, good point.
Seymour's a pussy.
Because there are already a ton of agencies out there that go and collect these feral cats. Yeah. So they can fix them so they don't reproduce and create more feral cats that get sick.
Aww.
So, you know, the best you can do is feed them and hopefully maybe they'll like you.
Yeah, feed them. That's the best way.
My neighbor has a three-week-old that he's bottle feeding like four times a day. He showed me. I was like,
and so seriously, y'all, if you're watching the Bob Dean Show,
yay.
You guys, if you know, because I don't want to take these two. The shelter, they got supposed to go back to the shelter, but if they go back to the shelter, then they're going to get separated.
Yeah.
So and the shelter is full.
Yeah, can we just say something? Please, people, do not take your pets to a shelter. You think that some cute little family is going to come along?
And
they don't.
And the shelters are full, ladies and gentlemen.
Full.
They're full. And if you
get
an animal,
sentence.
Don't get an animal and think, you know, and especially a lot of younger people, don't get a dog, guys, because you think it's going to be cool and you're going to ride around with the right. top of your Jeep off, and then and you crate it all
it's
fucking
like a child.
Day,
oh, yeah.
And then you don't teach it how to
you don't get puppies,
you don't get it housebroken, and then you dump it at the shelter. The shelters are full, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. They're full. We just had the folks from the shelter on two weeks ago, Dr. Vardy and Joan and Miss Kellogg, when we were talking about just the same thing. The shelters are full, mm-hmm. and if anybody, please, you guys ask around your friends too. These two beautiful little Maine Coon mix boys that I have at home. Aww. We want to keep them together.
But they came wild, but now
what's the whole point of bringing them in, to interact with the with the sober cats, and they're ready to be placed. They've already been chipped and have their little
good. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yes,
anyway,
adopt, don't shop.
As usual, we've run out of time on the Bob Dean Show. Yay! It flies by when you're having fun.
Yes, it does.
This is a number that nobody ever friggin' calls.
Is the number for the landline?
Well, no, it's our Google number, so you can call and leave questions or comments. 323-300-4092. 323-300-4092. Please follow us, subscribe to us on iTunes, follow us on iHeartRadio.
Yes.
Subscribe to us on YouTube and tell your friends.
Mm-hmm. Woohoo.
Because we need to start making some money off this show, y'all, because it's a great stinking show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I want to thank Mia.
Thank you.
And Jody, and of course Sylvia, for being back for the fourth time. Yeah. You guys are all welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
Anytime. Just pop in and G on. Well, just invite yourself.
Oh, every Monday?
Well, no, you can't find yourself every Monday, but just let me know when, if you're clear, and I can squeeze you in with depending on who's going to be on.
Right.
Because sometimes we do have serious episodes too, even though it's under the comedy category. And that's it. I'm going to go home and go back to bed.
Aww. Nice. Thank you all. Better.
I hope you do too, since you had anal and all that today. So.
I feel great. Yeah,
that's going to take something out of you.
Up,
she
yeah,
said it
I would
first.
Be like, woo! Okay, that's a way to start
thank
the day.
Thank you, Mia. Thank you, Jody. Thanks, Sylvia. Thank you, Sammy.
Bye.
All right, bye, gang. Thank you.